Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims, a podcast where we share our experiences as first-generation American Muslims and where we aim to connect with other young Muslims to let them know that they are not alone in their struggles. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into today's episode. In today's episode, we're going to be pulling questions from the We're Not Really Strangers game. And Rawan and I are going to be answering them together.
So this isn't really like a typical game. It gets you to kind of self-reflect a bit more deeply than usual. And it helps you to kind of be vulnerable with the people around you and to become more self-aware. And the goal of the episode is for us not to just like play a game, but it's also to for us to kind of really understand how we can be more comfortable and honest with ourselves and vulnerable, even when, you know, we have this pressure, I think, in the media and when we put ourselves out into the world through a podcast or Instagram to appear like perfect or like you have it all together. But the point of this is for us to really be open and vulnerable and honest with each other and with you all.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into the game, we wanted to talk a little bit about what self-awareness is and what vulnerability is to us and why we even decided to record this episode.
So I feel like self-awareness is super important because it helps you to kind of get a better understanding of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like having that understanding of yourself, especially at the age that we're at, like being young Muslims, is really important because for me, like my identity is like something that I think about a lot, like my identity as like a Middle Eastern person, as a woman, as a Muslim, as a first generation American, like all these things. So I feel like self-awareness is especially important for people who have a lot of like complex cultural and, you know, other identities.
Yeah. And I feel like when you become aware of who you are, you can kind of navigate life better and just help, you know, build relationships with other people and like truly make a change or leave an impact that you want to leave in this life.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like also having that self-awareness and that understanding of yourself allows you to like mature more as a person. And I know that, I think we mentioned this in one of our previous episodes, but we talked about how the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to always go to the cave of Hira to reflect and to really think. And that was obviously where like the Quran was eventually revealed to him. But to him, like being in solitude and being alone was really important to him. And he was able to use that time to learn and grow about what he believed as a person. And I feel like a lot of times today we just don't get any time alone because even when I'm on my phone, I feel like I'm not alone because I'm like DMing someone or like, you know, Snapchatting someone or getting a text or whatever. So I feel like being alone is such a weird concept for people in our generation, but it's so overlooked like in terms of its importance and how much it can help us grow as a person.
Yeah, and I feel like we kind of shy away from being alone and because I feel like it has like a negative feel to it just because we don't like to spend time being alone, and that's why we're like on social media, or like you said, even when you're alone, you're on your phone or DMing people or answering texts. It's because we don't want to feel like we don't have that connection with people, and it's really important to have that connection, but it's also important to just have a moment to yourself to see what's going on with you, you know, because I feel like we're very I guess obsessed with, you know, what's going on with everyone else, but we don't take that time to see what's going on with us, which could affect our life in the future.
Yeah, and that's so true. You bring up such a good point about kind of like social media and like having connections to other people being like a security blanket for us. And I know that a lot of times like people have conversations, and we've had conversations before about how even like getting likes or followers on Instagram can sometimes make people feel like validated and it makes them feel good. And I think that kind of just ties back to what you were saying about like we're like so afraid of just like being alone and being completely by ourselves, even though it's like so important for us to do that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's kind of ironic because I guess we're going to talk a little bit about vulnerability, but we love to have connections with people, but we don't give ourselves that time to like break down our like walls that we've built up for ourselves and like actually be true to the people that we connect with and those that we care about, because we are afraid of like, you know, getting hurt or like, and that leads to like ignoring like really important problems and not being able to fully connect with someone, which is literally what we try to do with connecting with people on like social media and even in person and having a lot of friends and caring about those likes. But it's, I feel like it's very superficial.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, like vulnerability is like scary for a lot of people, but then it makes you avoid like real conversations and real problems. And I know that like in my life before, like the times when I've been vulnerable, I was definitely uncomfortable in the moment. Like sometimes I felt like, oh, like, I shouldn't have shared this, like, personal thing about me with these people in my class or with a professor or with my friends. But then afterwards, like, it really helped people connect with me. Like, people would come up to me and be like, wow, I, like, really related to what you said, or, like, you know, I feel for you in, like, that situation that you went through. And especially, like, in the Arab community, it's, like, super taboo to be vulnerable and to open up, especially for men, I feel like.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like even for women, like, if you're very emotional and, like, you share when you're going through something, you're looked at as very weak and that you can't, like, handle yourself. But that's not what it's about. Like, I feel like we need to have these conversations as humans because, like, the only connection that someone has to you is when they look at you and what their biases about you. So they can't really get to know you if you don't let them in.
Yeah.
So they'll only have what they think.
Yeah. And even a lot of times today, I know there's been, like, a lot of conversations, like, in the news about women, like, in leadership positions. Like, a lot of people have been talking about the Prime Minister of New Zealand and, like, all her success as a leader. And then a lot of the, like, female, like, prominent female leaders in the U.S. too, like, AOC, Ilhan Omar, and stuff like that. And a lot of people were talking about how, like, you know, showing emotion, you know, is viewed as a weakness. Like, people say that about women when they lead. They're like, oh, showing emotion is bad. And they use it to criticize and tear down the person. But in my opinion, I feel like showing emotion is a strength because you're willing to show other people that you're not pretending to be perfect. You're not pretending to be some, like, rock who just, like, isn't fazed by anything. And for me, like, even in my own personal life, like, if I'm surrounded by someone who's in a leadership position or who's mentoring me, I'm much more likely to trust a person and to trust their judgment if they're willing to show emotion, like, if they're not just pretending to be perfect, because as we all know, like, no one is. So for people that aren't willing to show that emotion, it just kind of gives off, like, a fake vibe.
Yeah, I totally agree. And especially if it's, like, a mentor or someone that you're learning from, if they're not willing to be true with you, you might not, like, see yourself in that, whatever they're doing. Like, if it's, like, for a career or whatever, you might not be able to see yourself doing it because you feel like you have to, like, you know, be like them. But then you have all this other stuff that's going on and they're not willing to share their struggles. So you feel maybe a little bit inferior and that you're not able to do the same thing as them.
Yeah, that's such a good point that it, like, can contribute to imposter syndrome because you feel like, why is my, like, life, why does my life have all of these extra problems that make me emotional and theirs doesn't? When they do have them, you know, they're just not willing to show it. And I feel like that's kind of, like, the goal of us playing the game today is, like, we want to take this opportunity to, like, actually act on what we're saying and, like, be vulnerable and open and honest with you all and, like, be willing to share our emotions and personal experiences through these questions that we're going to be asking. And hopefully this encourages everyone who's listening to also practice this as well.
Definitely.
Okay, so the first question that we are going to answer from the game is, how are you really? What are you feeling a lot lately?
Okay, you going to go first?
I knew you put me in the hot seat.
Sorry.
Okay, if I were going to answer honestly how I've been, I feel like these past few months have been really challenging for me, just emotionally and mentally, because I haven't felt like myself at all. I definitely have been struggling with, like, my idea of, like, self-worth and, like, tying my self-worth to my productivity and to what I'm doing. Like, I'm always used to running around and, like, doing different things as you are too, like, with school and everything. So I feel like it's been really challenging because I just have felt so, I've had, like, very low self-esteem in the past few months. So that's what I've been feeling a lot lately. Mm-hmm. What about you?
So I definitely feel like a lot of the emotions that you've been feeling lately, especially not feeling like yourself. And I feel like that's because, like, we tie our, like, who we are to the things that we do and not being able to do a lot of things, like, you know, a big one is going to school. Like, we weren't able to have, like, closure, I feel, or, like, I feel like I didn't, you know, have closure. So that's, like, a big thing. And then, you know, I've been feeling, like, very suffocated lately. And yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's, like, really important, like, what you said about we tie who we are to what we do. Because I feel like that's exactly, like, what I've been feeling. And you just, like, were able to, like, phrase that really well. Like, I always, like, think better of myself if I'm, like, busier or if I'm getting more done. But in reality, that's, like, a really toxic mentality. Because at the end of the day, all these things are temporary. Like, you're not guaranteed that you're always going to be in school, that you're always going to have for as long as you wanted to. Or that you're going to have a job always, or that you're going to have your ties to things in your life. And I find that I tie my self-worth to that a lot too.
And I think like another thing that's like been hard is that when you are on social media, you feel like everyone like kind of has their crap together, or like, you know, they've moved on. But I feel like I've been so stuck at the beginning of this pandemic, and that it has like such a negative impact. And like, I don't know, like every time I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, this stupid pandemic, this, like everything that goes wrong, I'm like, oh, it's this stupid, like, you know, but I feel like everyone's kind of like moved on from that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like when every time I open social media, I see people are like traveling and like going across the world and having fun and just acting like it doesn't exist. And I mean, it is like a historical and monumental moment for a reason. Like, it's been affecting us for a really long time. And I'm starting to think like I'm wrong for not going out there and like traveling and living my life and doing everything. And like, I'm the only one that's just like paranoid or scared or worried. And I know that that's not true. But every time I open social media, I just compare my life to everyone around me. So that makes me even feel like worse about like my self-esteem, because I'm like, wow, like you just sat around and did nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And especially that paranoia, like it's so real. I'm like, every time I see a picture of someone that's like traveling, I'm like, how are you enjoying yourself? Because like the couple of times that, you know, we went out as friends, I was paranoid the whole time. Okay. And like, obviously I had fun, but like a big part of it was like, oh my God, the pandemic, like it was just such a big part. And I'm like, how are these people just living their lives like nothing's going on?
Yeah, and like, how do people like go to a restaurant and not feel paranoid?
Oh my God. Yeah, go to a restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think I've just been feeling a lot of that like low self-esteem, like low self-worth, like not really happy with like where my life is at right now.
Definitely. I agree.
Yeah. So another question that the game asked is kind of related to what we just talked about, but what have the past few weeks taught you?
I guess they've taught me that life is temporary, and you know, it's good, it's okay if you can't adapt really fast to things, and that you need to take the time that you need to get where you want to be, and that's okay. And also that, you know, not everyone around you is real or who you thought they were, and that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like also one thing I've learned in the past few weeks is like, I still haven't really like, I've learned it and I know it, but I haven't like internalized it. Mm-hmm. But it's that like everyone is at a different place in their life. Yeah. And just because you're not at that place doesn't mean that, you know, you're behind or whatever, just to kind of like follow your own timeline. But that's honestly been really hard for me to actually internalize. Like I say that I've learned that, but I don't know if I've actually like fully been able to embody that in the way that I feel about myself. So I'm still trying to like adapt, I guess.
I feel like that's really hard too, especially going back to like just seeing everyone on social media and where they are. Yeah. And a lot of people don't show the process. They just show like, you know, the success at the end.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the next question is, what is the most toxic trait that you can admit to?
These questions are really, I feel personally attacked by these questions. I feel like the most toxic trait that I can admit to in terms of like toxic for myself, I guess is how I'm interpreting this question, is that I self-select out of a lot of things. Like I have really bad imposter syndrome, so I like automatically disqualify myself from a lot of things and like a lot of opportunities because I think I'm not good enough for them. So that's my toxic trait.
Well, I guess when I thought about it, I was like, you know, projecting, and I think it's like negativity. I feel like I get into my feels really quickly, and then I project it to those around me, and it's not fair, but like I do it a lot.
I relate to that as well. Yeah. Like when I'm like feeling negative, it's really hard for me not to show it. Like my emotion, my face never like helps me out in any situation. Like my emotions are always like spelled out on my face. Like you can tell if I'm stressed, if I'm sad, if I'm angry. Like absolutely terrible at lying about my emotions. And I feel like every time I am feeling like negative or down, it's just so hard for me to get up and like put on a face and smile.
Yeah, I feel that.
And I feel like a lot of people though are like, why are you so upset? Like just be positive, or being optimistic and being positive is viewed as like a trait that everyone wants to have. But I feel like being positive and being optimistic and being like genuinely happy doesn't mean that you're putting a smile on your face even when things are bad and even when you're not feeling good. You know, I feel like we need to normalize that when you're feeling bad, like it's okay to show that, because so many times people are like, oh, like, you're so negative, like, you should just smile or whatever. Yeah. But if it's not genuine, like, why would you be faking your emotions like that?
Yeah, and, you know, especially, like, when you said, you know, when people just say, just be positive, or, like, it could be worse, or things like that, mm-hmm. it's like, well, thanks, you're not making it better. And I saw this post, it was, like, talking about toxic positivity, and we have a lot of that going around. Like, yeah. You know, I just feel like people should let people feel what they want to feel, like, leave them alone.
Yeah, exactly. And my biggest pet peeve in life is when people, like, invalidate other people's emotions. Yeah. Like, I remember, this is kind of different, but when I first started college, like, there was, like, a lot of different things that happened. We talked about this in an episode before in terms of, like, people at my school, like, saying, like, bad things about Muslims or whatever. And I kind of let it get to me, not in the sense that I believe those things, obviously, but in the sense that, like, they made me feel bad, you know? Like, people are gonna, like, if random people are saying terrible things about you and your identity, like, you're gonna feel bad to some extent. And I remember, like, I would tell, like, people in my family or something, like, oh, I'm scared, or, like, oh, I'm upset. And they'd be like, don't be scared, don't be upset. And I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when people just invalidate other people's emotions. Like, when you are open enough and vulnerable enough to say, I'm feeling X, and someone's like, oh, just don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, how is that helpful?
Yeah, it's very helpful. What are you talking about? No, but I feel like that's a big part of, like Arab and Desi and, like brown backgrounds. Like, yeah. They're very, like, don't feel that way. And they think that you're just not going to feel that way. And I think it's because they don't want you to feel that way, but they don't have another way to, like, help you out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question is, who in your life can you be the most vulnerable with? Honestly, like, for me, I can be vulnerable with the mailman. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I like to share my emotions, but, like, you know, real emotions, like, you know, Rowan, my mom, like, a couple of other friends. But, like, that's, like, the true. But, you know, if someone asks me, how are you, in the street, I will tell them how I am. I swear.
I feel like that's such a good quality to have, though, because, you know, like, how everyone's, like, people are always like, how are you? And everyone's like, good, good, good. Like, whatever. Even if their life is, like, falling apart and the world around them is burning. Like, I feel like it's good that you can be vulnerable.
But sometimes people don't actually want to know how you are. Because, like, people know, like, if they ask people, how are you? People are going to say, I'm fine. And then they end the conversation. They don't want to sit there and listen to how you're actually feeling.
Well, it's good. You're, like, reversing the culture of just saying, like, I'm fine, I'm good, and, like, passing it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like for me, yeah, I would agree. Probably in terms of, like, in my family, I would say my sisters the most, if I had to pick, like, top. So my sisters and then my mom, and then obviously around. So I feel like I'm actually, like, it takes me a really long time to trust people, like, really, really long time. Like, I will still be friends with someone and, like, everything, but I don't know. It just takes me a really long time to trust people, and, like, I always have to kind of, like, get my feet wet and, like, feel it out and stuff like that. And even, like, after a long, long time of knowing someone, I still might not feel fully comfortable. So I won't really, like, be fully vulnerable with them. So if I had to be honest, like, I would say probably the only person, like, outside of my family that I can be vulnerable with is Rand. Just because, I don't know, like, when I trust someone, I can be fully vulnerable with them, but I don't trust very many people fully.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's a good thing, too, because you don't know, like, the people around you can be total snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's a good thing, because I've put myself in multiple, like, situations where I was, like, hurt, or, like, someone turned, like, they ended up not being the person that I thought they were. And, you know, that caused a lot of, you know, being hurt for me. So I feel like being vulnerable with a couple of people is much, you know, better than, like, you know, being vulnerable with everyone and then being stabbed in the back.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if there's one thing I've learned is that, like, I feel like it's way better to have a couple of friends that are close to you that you, like, know you can trust. Like, for me, like, the kind of friend that I want to have is someone that I know I can trust with anything. Like, even if one day, like, that person just, like, and I are, like, no longer friends, like, I know I can trust them that anything I told them, like, isn't going to be, like, used against me in any way. Like, that's the kind of, like, level of trust that I want to have with people. And it's really hard to get to that level of trust. And I also feel like I can only be vulnerable with people who share the same identity as me, which I know is weird, but, like, growing up as, like, a Muslim and, like, as an Arab and whatever, like, in America, I never felt like I fully related to non-Muslims, just because being Muslim was such a big part of my identity. that I never felt like I could really relate to the people around me or like really open up to them. So I don't know, that's just why I said like I can really only truly be vulnerable with like the people in my family and Red, because for me, if I were to say that I'm like completely vulnerable and honest with the people that I go to school with or something, not that I'm like lying, but like I just like don't open up fully, it's honestly because I feel like there are some things that I know like my Muslim friends are gonna relate to, and I know they're just gonna get, and I don't have to do a lot of explaining, like if I'm not gonna go to an event or if I'm like not gonna participate in something, I don't have to explain myself and be like, oh well, because of this and because of that and because of this cultural thing and this religious thing. So I don't know, that's just like one big part that I've always like had growing up in my life that a lot of times made me feel like really left out and isolated. And I feel like that contributes to a lot of things we've talked about on this podcast of like feeling left out and like feeling like your identity is so different than the people around you, just being a first generation American Muslim.
No, I definitely agree. And I do the same thing. Like if I'm going to be vulnerable with someone or like really, really good friends with someone, I need to like, whenever we're having a conversation, they just understand what I'm talking about. And we don't have, like, obviously we can disagree on things, but, like, fundamental values, I can't disagree with you on that, because then I can't be myself, and it just makes me feel uncomfortable. And obviously, it's good to feel uncomfortable, but not when you want to have, like, a safe space, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I really like how you brought in, like, fundamental values. Like, those are so crucial to having a really honest relationship with someone. And I feel like if someone is worried or confused about, like, whether they've really been vulnerable and been able to be vulnerable with the people around them, like one question we can ask ourselves is like, do I share fundamental values and morals with these people?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like 9 times out of 10, if you don't, it's just really hard for you to feel super open.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's like, that's a very important part. Okay, so the next question is, what's your favorite part of yourself that isn't physical?
Wait, do you want to go first?
I mean, when I saw this question, I was like, when I think about the favorite part of myself, it isn't physical. It never is, because I feel like as girls, sometimes we have problems with, you know, be like, oh yeah, I look good or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was like, well, that's kind of easier than if you tell me what's something physical. So I think my favorite part is also my non-favorite part. And it's that when I really, really like someone, I'm very loyal and, you know, I just want the best for them. And, you know, I try to contribute to that as much as I can. But then at the same time, like, if I don't like you, you're just on this bad list and you never, like, recover.
Yeah, I can attest that's very true about it. And she is a very loyal and trustworthy person. And she does really just want the best for people. Like, I feel like, especially in Arab culture, if you're, like, brown in general, you know that there's a lot of just like weird emotions, especially between women in the brown community. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of like drama and weird things, and it's very rare to find someone, I think, who genuinely wants the best for you, but I can attest that and is actually like that. For me, I would say that I think it's that, like, I think I just genuinely have like a passion for something, or when I do, it's genuine and it's not because I want something for myself out of it. I don't know if I'm really explaining this right, but when I care about an issue, or the things that I do care about, it's not because I want something for myself, it's because I genuinely care about them. And I can like feel myself like getting like hyped up or angry about something that I feel like is unjust or is wrong. And I feel like for me, like one thing that has helped me kind of do things that I really enjoy in my life is just like chasing the things that I'm genuinely passionate about and that I'm not doing just to like gain something in life. I don't know if I really explained that right, but that would be one thing that I like.
That's like something that I've definitely seen in Rowan. Like, one of my favorite things about her is that she's very determined, and like she does really show her passion, and she'll do whatever she needs to do to make sure that she's contributing in a positive way towards that issue. And it's like, I don't know, it's like something that I look up to her for.
Thanks, man. This game is really getting me in my feels, guys. Like, if you play this with someone, it's gonna get you in your feels. So the next question is, when was the last time you felt the most yourself?
Before March 13th. And yeah, I definitely think like before everything went down, I was feeling the most myself. So it was before March 13th, seriously, because I was doing this internship and I was just learning so much about myself and, you know, relating to the career field and seeing myself in it. And I was just feeling so good about myself and classes were going well and I was getting ready to graduate. And then all that went down the drain.
if I had to be completely honest and open, I would say probably last summer when I was studying abroad, and not because I was studying abroad, but I think it was because I was by myself, not like completely by myself, but I was just away from everything that I knew and all the people that I knew. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of time to really think about like my life and myself, which sounds really cliche, but that's kind of, I feel like, the point of studying abroad or just traveling in general, I think, is one of the things you can gain is learning about yourself and feeling like yourself. And I felt really like myself that summer just because I had so much time to think about what I wanted, and I didn't have the influence of the people that I knew around me. Mm-hmm. And I also was very much out of my comfort zone. Like, I was in a completely different country and I didn't really know anything. So I feel like I was learning so much about myself because I was learning, like, how do I adapt to certain situations? How do I adapt to meeting new people? And yeah, that experience was just really important to me because it taught me a lot about who I was, what I liked, and what I didn't like. And it was just a good grounding summer for me. Mm-hmm. And that was honestly the time that I felt most like myself, because after that, I feel like I just get so caught up with mm-hmm. life and with everything, and I get so just stuck in the moment. And I feel like that's not really conducive to me feeling like myself and learning about myself.
Mm-hmm. I feel like both of, I guess, what we talked about is just kind of seeing what the real world is like, because when I was, you know, in the, I guess, workplace, I didn't have to think about school, and it was like, oh wow, like, I'm kind of like an adult. But then on a bigger scale, I feel like that's maybe the same thing that you were feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Like, being distanced from the routine and the structure of, like, the institution of school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess we're going to wrap up this game with one last question. And it's, what are you most grateful for in this moment?
This is weird, but I would say, like, the ability to wake up and have a new day. Like, the ability to start over. That's something that I've been really grateful for, because a lot of times, like, recently, like, I was talking about at the beginning, how I haven't been feeling like myself because I haven't been able to get the things done that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of the day, I always felt kind of, like, down about myself and, like, upset and things like that. And obviously, like, as Muslims, we know that, like, we don't really have a guarantee to wake up the next day. But, you know, assuming that I did, like, assuming that the next day would be an opportunity to start over, an opportunity to try again, has been really important for preserving, like, my mental health and my mental sanity, so.
I really love that. I never thought about it that way, but I think it's really important. For me, it's having outlets. Even if it might seem silly, like, I've had to stay at home for a really long period of time, so being able to, like, you know, talk to people and, like, see their faces, even if I wasn't able to see them, like, in person, but also, like, having other outlets like Netflix and
mm-hmm.
Hulu and things like that to keep myself busy. I literally binged watch a 7-season show and maybe, like, I haven't finished this 7th season because I feel like I should keep it for when I'm feeling upset, but I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, for sure. And those outlets are so important. Like, I feel like there's the older generation today just likes to bash on the younger generation and, like, social media and, like, Netflix and all the things, the new technologies and things that have come out. But I feel like those have become really important outlets for us. And there should be no shame in, like, taking time and taking breaks and taking opportunities to rest, because I feel like so many people on social media just want to be like, oh, like, I just grind all the time. Like, I work 24/7. I don't take breaks. Like, and there's always those, like, you know, the self-help YouTube channels? Like, it's those people, those guys, they make, like, videos on how to be more productive. Like, how to, you know, get your life together in 30 seconds. Which is, like, really, like, they make these
huge claims.
It's because
they're, like, they're trying to target your problem areas. It's, like, those workout videos, like, even Chloe Ting or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, make your stomach flatter. And she knows that a bunch of girls are insecure about their, like, not flat stomachs. And I just want to let you guys know that we have organs in there, so your stomach does not have to be completely flat. But it's because they're targeting your problem areas, trying to make you feel bad about yourself so that they can make revenue.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, all those channels, they'll always be like, yeah, tips for being more productive. They're like, you should never, like, watch Netflix. Like, that's a waste of time. Like, that's a younger generation thing. But it's important to have those outlets, is my point.
Exactly. Drop that mic at one.
But I feel like overall this game was just, like, super helpful for me in, like, taking the time to reflect, because I've been feeling all of these emotions,
mm-hmm.
but I don't necessarily know that I've been feeling them until
yeah.
I talked about it. And it was kind of nice to, like, get it out in the open. Like, I feel, like, lighter.
Yeah, I definitely feel lighter too. And I feel like feeling these emotions has been for so long, just to take a couple minutes to talk about them is very important, especially with someone that you know will understand you. And honestly, like, one thing that's very important is not to assume how the other person is feeling or how what the other person is going through or what's going on in that person's life. Like, assuming is very, it can cause, like, a lot of problems. So just sit down and have an actual conversation with people, because then you'll actually get their point of views and you won't have to make up scenarios and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And like we always say in the intro of our podcast, like, one of the purposes of this podcast is to help young Muslims through their struggles and to help them feel like they're not alone. And I feel like this game just kind of, like, reinforces that message. Is a lot of times, like, a lot of us are feeling these emotions. Like, for me, I talked about, like, self-worth, like, not having, like, a high sense of self-worth right now, or, like, lower self-esteem or imposter syndrome or all those things. And one of the things that makes having these emotions so hard is when you feel like no one else is going through it. Mm-hmm. So when we play, you know, it's like a game, called a game online or whatever, but these are important life skills. You know, when we play these things and when we talk about these things, it helps other people feel like they're not alone and they know that they're human and that it's totally okay to be feeling all of these things. And I don't know, I just feel like this game was so important. And definitely, like, younger me honestly wishes that I would have something like this, or I would have been able to have these conversations with someone or have a safe space where I was able to engage in this conversation, or even that I had, like, a podcast like this to listen to. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that makes me feel really good, and hopefully the people that are listening to this can also feel like they're not alone in their emotions, even if it's something we didn't discuss. Like, yeah, the things we discussed here are obviously not comprehensive of how we've been feeling. Mm-hmm. And just hopefully it encourages everyone to be more vulnerable and honest, even if it's just with yourself.
Yeah, and if even if it's making you feel uncomfortable. And we really encourage you all to try this challenge. And what I really like about this game is, like what Iran said, it's a game, but it's really not. Like, you, the point of it is to have meaningful dialogue and, like, to actually open up. And putting it into a game format makes people feel a little bit more comfortable to do that. So we hope that you guys will also try this challenge. And if you do, please let us know on your social media accounts, or if you want to reach out to us in DMs. But that's all that we have for you guys today. And we really hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. But we really wanted to just take a moment to be honest and open with you all. And we hope that you guys will also take the moment with your family, friends, and us to find the answers to these questions for yourself, to become more self-aware and vulnerable.
And remember to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real Talk Real Muslims. Guys, we really put ourselves out there on TikTok, so check them out. And discuss this episode with your friends and family. You can also check out our full episodes, video recorded and uploaded, to our YouTube channel, Real Talk Real Muslims, and give us any feedback about this episode by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. These are super helpful to us. You can also leave us reviews by DMing us on social media or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye.